Yeah, looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
S-R-T crew.
Whoa.
S-R-S-R-S-R-S-R-T. They got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to S-R-T today. H-O got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron. I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll tie forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with S-R-T. Behind the glass, that G-Money. Mayweather strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for S-R-T Radio.
Yeah. What up, what up, what up? It's Sports Roundtable, live from the S-R-T studios overlooking Atlantic Station. And it's the Sports Roundtable with the S-R-T crew coming to you on 5 days before Christmas. So we want to give a happy Merry Christmas to all of you all, especially the ones that listen to us. Special thanks to all those who came out, supported SRT Saturday, and celebrated Mr. Hancock's birthday.
Appreciate it.
He was up in the house doing his thing, making them picks, watching the football game. Well, it won, but two games on. So, happy birthday, Han. Merry Christmas to everybody. This is Sports Roundtable, coming to you live each and every Wednesday, 7 to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You want to join the show? 404-603-8770. I am your humble host, H.O. from Bankhead. Got my main man, Hancock, the sports superhero, is in the building.
Yes, sir.
Zeke is coming back. How you like it?
Well, I'm glad to see him back, but, you know, I'm still a little, I don't even know what the word to say about with the Cowboys. I'm not really feeling them right now.
I feel you.
I feel the Cowboys. I don't feel Jerry.
I got you.
How about that? But I'm glad to see Zeke come back. I want to see what happens.
So. Absolutely. Zeke coming back. What's your thoughts?
Well, I hope he, like, stayed in shape in his excursion to wherever he went outside the country.
Right.
But it's good to see him back.
Yep. All right. That's the man behind the glass. Look at Mason. Yo, Zeke the Freak. I know my main man, Mason, heard over there at the crest. I know
what
he's
up, Mason?
Happy.
Yo.
Know he happy because Zeke is back. And, of course, in the studio, we got the sixth man in the building tonight. What's up, Six?
What's up? Glad to be back, man. It's always fun to sit in on the show. And I just appreciate you guys calling me. I mean, you could have called in anybody in the world, but you decided to call me, so I appreciate it. Shout out to D-Weezy.
D-Weezy.
Actually, D-Weezy's on the phone.
Yeah.
Weezy! D-Will, the coach. You there?
What up, homie? What's happening?
I hear you traveling.
Yeah, man, I'm running down this road, man, Got some orders to push out tonight, man. Got some sweatshirts to do, so you know what it is.
Sound like you say Nick or something. You got orders to push out.
Listen, man, I am Santa Claus. It's the season to be season.
I heard that.
There it is, man. Hey, listen, man. I know we probably won't see you until next week, but Merry Christmas. Be safe on that road. Love your bro from the SRT crew, and everybody said that they love you as well. Keep pushing. Real talk tease is real, baby. You know how we do it. But I do got one question for you. Alabama just got some bad news about one of their players not going to play
Dylan
anymore.
Moser.
Yes. Your thoughts real quick?
Well, you know, he had taken over our starting middle linebacker position since Sean Deion Hamilton has been out, and he played well the last two games. And I'm going to be honest with you. We get a lot of linebackers back, but we only got one in Mack Wilson, who is a sophomore. But I'm going to be honest with you. This injury hurt. I'm really looking forward to see what Nick can do. And Jeremy Pruitt, I know he has other endeavors to look forward to. So it's going to be real interesting on what we're going to be able to do at that linebacker position. But I got faith that Nick going to have something up his sleeve in order to get it done.
There it is. All right, there it is. You hear it from my main man, D. Will. Jay Smooth is in the building for you tonight, man. Jay Smooth. Jay Smooth filling in for you tonight. So, listen, be safe on that road, man. And we go talk soon. SRT for life, baby.
Happy holidays, man.
Hey, love y'all, man. Merry Christmas. Back at you.
Absolutely. D. Will calling in. He's on that road, man, making some moves. Real Talk Tees is real, man. I'm telling you. Make sure say Zeke go run for 200 this week.
That's what Zeke said. He told Eric Dixon that they got a jersey back.
Yeah.
If he hits a 200 mark, ED got to give him a signed jersey. Game jersey.
Game worn
jersey. So right. Vice versa if he doesn't. So we'll see.
There it is. Hey, man, we got some hot news coming up real quick. We got the Falcons report coming up around 7:30 with DW from the Falcoholic. Got some other news that we want to talk about. We want to talk about LeVar Ball's new venture, possibly.
It's genius.
And my main man, Rain Man, calling in about 8 o'clock with some picks. So he going to help you get some fruit cups this week. And second hour show, we're going to talk NFL playoff picture. And let's think about this. Can the Jags win a playoff game?
I think they win more the way they playing, man.
So we got a whole lot to talk about. So, but before we go into all of that or any of that, let's make sure you follow us on Twitter, on social media at SRT Radio. And we're doing something new tonight. Go to SRT Sports Talk Radio on Facebook. We Facebook Live. So go to our page and check us out. We do have a camera in here tonight. So check us out on SRT Sports Talk Radio on Facebook. And we Facebook Live, so you can go there and check all of us out, not just the individual. So we're trying that out this week, so we'll see how that goes. And, G, let's get to some hot news.
Blazing. Hot, hot, hot. Scorching.
It's on fire.
Red hot.
This is why I'm hot.
It's the Sports Roundtable Hot News.
Hot news sponsored by Big Easy Grill. You want the best New Orleans seafood in town? Please go over to our friends at the Big Easy Grill. 1193 Collier Road, the best shrimp in town. Best shrimp po' boy in town. Crab claws. Actually, the shrimp chicken pasta is off the chain as well. So please go over to our friends at the Big Easy Grill. You can go to BigEasyGrill.com for the menu. And the first question hand. This a lot of questionable calls this week in the NFL, mainly Pittsburgh, New England. Your thoughts on that call, but your thoughts on a lot of questionable calls that we've seen this weekend.
Yeah. No, the NFL, man, is starting to be something different than what I grew up on, to be honest with you. You know, I know technology is supposed to advance the product, but it seems in certain situations that it's starting to really, I guess, detract from the product. I mean, we look at whatever a touchdown is and what it's not this time. I mean, we can go back. There was a play in Pittsburgh earlier this year where Xavier Grimble, I believe his name, was backup tight end, caught a pass. Was contacted, failed, and dove to the end zone. Ball came loose, and there was a touchdown. And basically the same thing happened Sunday, and it's overruled and overturned as an incompletion. I know what the rule states, but I don't even think they interpret these rules right. They said you have to catch the ball, complete it, make a football move, and then the ball has to survive the ground. Meaning you can't drop it or it can't move or touch the ground while, you know, throughout the catch.
Right.
Completion of the catch. And, I mean, from that along with what I'm watching with the hits, you know, that they call illegal now. Perfect example was the hit in the Atlanta game when right. The safety came up. What's number 37's name?
Ricardo Allen.
Ricardo Allen hit the guy in the chest. And he gets a personal foul.
And they scored on that. And they scored on the drive.
Right, kept the drive going. So I, at this time, don't The game that we're watching every week now just doesn't resemble anything that we've been accustomed to in football, just to be honest with you. And these calls, man, that they're taking out index cards to measure first downs. I mean, it's just totally crazy right now in the NFL. And I don't even think the officials are comfortable making calls because they don't even know where the catch is. And, I mean, it's going to cost it, like it costs Pittsburgh
home field advantage
pretty much now is the way we're looking at it. So, and that's big. Them playing at home versus going to New England is big. Right. And they control the game basically, what, three quarters of it? Yeah. Maybe even more?
Yeah.
And then to lose it on a game. You know, you always say, well, that didn't lose them the game. Well, I don't agree with that. Yes, it did lose them the game. Just like when they say Dez's catch didn't lose them the game against Green Bay.
Right.
Well, he still had Aaron Rodgers still had the ball, could have got the ball back. So he could have. But he could have fumbled anything.
Right.
But you took something off the board that was there. And I just, it's frustrating, man. Especially if you got some money on the game, it's really frustrating. But anyway, it just doesn't resemble football as we know it.
Jay, what do you want to add?
I just want to add that with that catch, the first catch you're talking about with Grimble, I think him putting his hand on the ground to try to stay up is considered a football move. But from Jesse James' catch and with Dez Bryant's catch, reaching for the goal line is not a football move.
And
it's
I
not
can't
considered
understand
a football move, but
wow.
How's it not? Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
See, they can't. That's crazy. Now, per the rule, I get it about the catch. Okay? There also is a rule that says that anytime the ball crosses the goal line, it's a touchdown.
If you're a runner.
Right, but in the rule book, it doesn't say if you're a receiver, once you do it, it's not a touchdown.
Right, because he has, in their eyes, become a runner after the catch because the catch wasn't completed, which makes no sense to me. When you grab a ball and you pull it in and you do other things with it, looks like you have control of it. It's just like porn. I might not be able to describe it, but I know what it is when I see it.
Yeah.
I know what a catch is.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? This is crazy.
Yeah.
So, Julio catches a ball in the Tampa game, I think. He catches it, runs, dives for the, touches
the
pylon, ball lets go. They call it a touchdown.
We had possession of the ball.
And
when he
established himself as a runner.
Not
right.
As opposed to Derek Carr, who the ball came out of his hand well before he crossed the goal line.
Right.
But still, that and it went through the end zone. So that was a fumble. And
I agree with that.
But their rules are all contradictory.
It's just not consistent.
Because they contradict you by saying a ground can't cause a fumble. So, but the only reason the ball came out on Jesse James is because he hit the ground with the ball.
But let me ask you this. This is my only thing with it, and we're going to move on. Was it conclusive that the ball touched the ground because his right hand is underneath the ball?
I think one shot from the side showed to me the ball did get on the ground, but that's still speculative.
That's my point. How can you?
I could say
if it's not definitive. How do you
overturn it?
Exactly. So
even at that. Listen. I'm pretty sure they'll change it. They're gonna have to revisit it. But my whole thing is,
why does it always happen for the Patriots?
That's what I'm saying.
Why does it always happen for the Patriots? Because they took one back from the Jets with Safarian Jenkins this year.
Yeah.
I still don't understand why that's not a touchdown.
Exactly. It's crazy.
So I don't know, man. It seems like it always happens for them.
Always happens for them. Shout out to Lucy who checking in on Facebook.
What up, Marty Terry?
All right. Question number two. Jay Smooth. Kobe got both of his jerseys retired. Thoughts on Kobe and his two jerseys? You can play 824 tonight, too.
Yeah.
824.
Most players are lucky to get one jersey retired, but Kobe got two jerseys. And I don't know if this has ever happened in sports history before, but to have two jerseys retired, it's really a tale of two careers. what he did wearing number 8 and what he did wearing number 24. And it just speaks to, and honestly, if you separate the two, both players would be Hall of Fame players. That's what's so amazing about it, and I think it adds to Kobe's legend. I mean, we can run off his list of accolades, the, you know, the All-NBA teams, the All-Star appearances, the his list on the all-time scoring, well, his place on the all-time scoring list, the 5 championships, the MVP. We can talk about all those things, but I think what's most important to point out about Kobe is he has a legendary work ethic, and a work ethic that was great enough to get him 2 jerseys retired. So, and I think that's one thing that, you know, we tend to overlook about some of these greatest players. Not only are they blessed with the talent to become one of the greatest players ever, but they also have a work ethic that matches that talent. And I think you can't overlook that fact, but for him to have 2 jerseys, and I mean, he brought out celebrities, Lakers legends, Jeannie Buss made an appearance. I don't know if the brother, Jim, I don't know if Jim showed up or not.
Probably not.
Yeah, probably.
They didn't show him.
Yeah. But Kobe is an absolute legend. I mean, you have to give it to him hands down. And, you know, where his, however you decide to place him on that all-time list, I think him being, you know, within the top 3 or 5, I think it's indisputable at this point.
I got one problem with Kobe. Somebody out there, please help me with this. I could be speculating. I could just be a little sensitive about this situation. So if anybody can help me with this situation, please do. Kobe, this has nothing to do with Kobe and his talent and how great he is and the jerseys being retired. But he scored 60 points his last game, came out and spoke. Had 2 jerseys retired, came out and spoke. Right?
Right.
To everybody. Neither time had he thanked his parents.
It's some issues there, though.
Neither time has anybody talked about his parents. His father, his mom, his sister.
It's a strained relationship. Yeah, it goes back to when he married Vanessa. And that's kind of where it all started from.
Okay.
Right there.
With that being said, maybe they need to watch the Magic and Isaiah makeup from last night. Because it's Christmas time. How can you... This accomplishment is so big. Your strain can't be bigger than this. It just cannot. It's no way that I'm not showing up for my son's retirement. Mother, father, they should have brought the dog to the retirement. So whether it's strained or not, that is just inexcusable on both parts, in my opinion.
And I think it's also important to note, I mean, especially for the audience's sake, the HM3, if a lot of the audience knows and a lot of you guys don't, but, you know, this is someone who's not fortunate enough to still have his parents.
Right.
These are the HM3's comments. And, you know, I get where you're coming from. And I absolutely agree. For Kobe to not have his parents around and for him to not thank them, it does seem ungrateful. And, you know, even though Hancock said there are some issues there, but still, Kobe is what? Is he 40 now?
39.
39? I think at some point, Kobe should be grown enough to say, okay, you know what? Let's put the things that are in the past, let's put those things behind us and move on. And, you know, let's try to restart this relationship. Because I don't have his, do his daughters even know?
I don't know, but and it's hard. Look, man, I hear what you all are saying.
Yeah.
But until you in that man's shoes, it's kind of hard.
Hey, listen.
Right.
You know, these are rich folk problems. You know, I mean, I'm just being real.
Right.
You know, you rich money takes you to a different level.
Yeah.
And I think it's, I think when you look back, like, yeah, that's right, Marty. That's rich folk stuff.
He didn't say that, though.
Yeah, he said ish, but okay. It is. But what I'm saying is, I think 2 years ago, she was selling this stuff out of the house.
She did. The memorabilia. Yeah,
I mean,
did.
The mom.
Yep.
And from what I understand, he bought them houses. He did all this kind of stuff. So, I don't know. It's just...
That's
family stuff. Family stuff, man.
We need to just leave it alone.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know what's going on.
But without them, there will be no Kobe.
Yeah, and they wouldn't have no house without him.
Well, that's... All right, G, let's get to question number 3. The Panthers, Jerry Richardson, said he's selling the team. He's been investigated for misconduct, touching, rape, racism, and all kind of old stuff. Your thoughts on this crap?
Yeah, so Jerry Richardson, the owner of the now North Carolina Panthers. there's a story that came out from Sports Illustrated. There's the, seems like the infamous jeans day, to where the employees could wear jeans around the facility. And then here comes Mr. Richardson, or excuse me, Mr. They call him Mr. Like in the color purple, just Mr.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So he's asking women, you know, if he could, you know, view their backsides and asking if, how much did you wiggle to get into those jeans and all that. And people dismissed it as a joke for the most part. But then, you know, if someone complains, you know, it's going to turn into something. So at least four employees have received settlements on the condition that they not disclose, that they not talk about it, pretty much. Sports Illustrated was able to view the documents on the condition they did not reveal how much anyone got or the any names. But it seems that it's pretty serious. And with all the other allegations that have come up, yeah, he's trying to do a preemptive strike by selling the team.
Right.
Even though it's something he doesn't want to do. The thing is that he's very concerned about his legacy. And so he's just going to try to step away before anything bigger happens. But the team is investigating it, and the NFL will investigate it, but he's still going to sell the team anyway.
Right.
And there are lots of buyers too, including Diddy, but also look for the Belk family.
Yeah, they own 10 or 16% already.
Oh, yeah. And they sold their share in their own company for about $2.7 million. And there's also the CEO of Amazon is worth about $9 billion,
yeah.
Or maybe Bezos. $99 billion. It may be, yeah, like really high.
Yeah.
And Diddy has to get a lot more investors. And some people mentioned Michael Jordan as well. But
man, Diddy
definitely buyers.
He got about as much chance to do as Trump invite me to the Christmas party. Let's just be real.
Another long shot is Mark Cuban, and you've heard his comments about the NFL.
Yeah, it's not.
He might want in too.
It's not going to happen. And then the other thing, did it trying to get Kaepernick to be a part on it? They won't let him be a quarterback.
Right.
A backup quarterback.
Just to even mention his name.
Right. That's a wrap. That's
him.
A wrap. And Cam
Newton will have something to say about
it. I think we've seen this before, right, anyway, if you watch Soul Plane. If you can you imagine the owners, P. Diddy owned the Carolina Panthers? Soul Plane all over again.
Oh, wow.
Ciroc, baby, flow. Oh, man, please.
At the concession stand.
Oh, we the best.
Yeah. Ciroc fountain.
But you off the chain.
No doubt.
All right, question number four. Hancock. Seattle got wood said it this weekend.
Did they?
Can we say this is the run is over for Seattle?
You know, they have a lot of good players, man, but they have some contracts coming up. I think they only have like $18 million left under the cap for next year. But in the NFL, if you have a quality quarterback in an organization like they have, they still have a lot of defensive pieces, but they're going to have to do some pruning. I think it's time for some of those outspoken personalities to move on. And I don't think they'll fall all the way off to the point where we're looking at Seattle as somebody's homecoming. So, you know, I think they're going to have to retool. I think you're going to have more, you know, have some fresh blood come in. And like I say, it gets stale. As long as you win and you can have outspoken personalities, you can get in each other's face and you can move on, because winning can kind of cure everything.
Right.
But losing is the thing. They're losing now. And that's why it's a problem. They've been arguing. They've been cussing each other out and talking crazy since we've known them. I mean, we saw Richard. How did we find out about Richard Sherman? He was screaming and hollering at first at Brady, then in the young lady's face after the game. So they've always been this, you know, brutish, in-your-face type thing.
Dysfunctional.
Right. Yeah. So I think maybe Sherman's time probably is up. Probably Michael Bennett and some players like that. But when you have K.J. Wright and some other players right there. Bobby Wagner. You can still look at what happened with Baltimore when Ray left. Still, Suggs took over and kept the culture going. So as long as you have some foundation there and able to build and bring in some some talent that I don't think the run is over, but I think they're going to have to retool.
All right, G, what you had to?
It's important that they, a lot of people talk about, you know, their secondary, but the most important player on their defense is Bobby Wagner.
Yeah.
And probably second would be Earl Thomas. So if you can keep those guys, yeah, you want to keep a Cam Chancellor for what he can do and a Richard Sherman for what, like, the attitude that he can bring. But if they don't come back, then I don't think Seattle will fall too far. But the most important thing for them is if you're invested so much in Russell Wilson, you have to invest in your offensive line.
Exactly. I agree. Yeah,
you got to.
Yeah,
I agree.
I think Cam is there because he just signed a contract. I think his runs for a while.
Yeah.
But I think Richard Sherman pretty much, I think he's done. Yes. I honestly think he's out of there.
Mm. Yeah. All right, question number five. Smooth. AD names keep popping up for the Celtics in trade talks. If they can successfully trade for AD, do you think he will be that piece to put them over the top over Cleveland?
Not immediately, because I think if they do somehow manage to land AD, I think they're going to have to give up a lot, mainly Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, a few other assets. And I agree with you, and I think it's too much to give up, in my opinion. I don't think Danny Ainge will pull the trigger, but if you're New Orleans, I think you need to make it happen, especially if you can get one of those players, Tatum or Jaylen Brown, plus picks and maybe a few more pieces. I think you do it, because I think Boogie is out. I don't see him coming back at all. I would be highly surprised if he showed back up. And Anthony Davis, let's just face it, he's not going to win in New Orleans. I just don't see it.
Right.
So why not? But their problem is always going to be LeBron. And LeBron, we talked about this on Saturday, this guy does not seem to be slowing down. I mean, out of 15 years in the league, and he has shown he might be better now than he was when he, you know, 5-7 years ago. So I think as long as LeBron is still in the East, not, I would say Danny Ainge, he should at least wait another year, because we don't know what's going to happen with LeBron. I think a lot of people think LeBron is on his way out of Cleveland. I'm sort of the belief that he's going to stay in Cleveland. I think that's the best spot for him.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as LeBron is there, it just doesn't make sense for Boston to make that move. Not, in my opinion, not at this point.
Cool. And he's prone to injury.
Right.
And, you know, we're looking at Embiid. He's set out 2 games and rubbing his back throughout the course of the game and things of that nature. You've invested all his money, you know, into him and things like that. And you got to think, yeah, they try to save these players for the playoffs. But injuries happen regardless of whether it's the regular season or in the playoffs. So I just don't know if – I'm with you, Smooth. I think they might need to just hold up for a minute. I don't even know who's the initiator in this situation, whether it's Boston, whether it's, you know, the Pelicans or whatever.
It's some smoke there.
Yeah, I agree.
It's something going on. It's going to – I think as you get closer to that trade deadline, that pick that they have for AD – I mean, look, think about it. Well, maybe you won't be able to. How high is that pick? What is it?
It's Brooklyn's pick,
right? Well, I mean, if you're not going to get Marvin Bagley III, right? You're not going to get him. He's going to go probably number one, and it might be the Hawks the way they playing. So, I mean, why not try to get AD with that pick? I mean, my thing on it is, I'd rather have. We're seeing the more talent you have, the better. Look at what everybody poo-pooed what happened with Golden State. But think about it. With Steph being out so long, having that other superstar has made them stay relevant.
Right.
So I think if you can get a superstar talent like AD to come to Boston, I think you make that move. Gotcha. As long as you don't tear your core up.
Right.
Exactly. I agree. All right, we got to get the break real quick. When we come back, we got our main man, DW from the Falcoholic, calling in to give us that Falcon report. You're listening to Sports Roundtable, srtradio.com on AM 1100.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network.
What's up? This your man, D-Will the Coach, here on behalf of Real Talk Tees. Real Talk Tees is for the players, geniuses, and bosses. For those who hustle, for the fresh, and for the iconic. Real Talk Tees is urban, affordable, vintage t-shirts to help you express yourself. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com to order yours today. So how about this? You got a specific mood in mind? Custom orders are available also to help you and yours stand out. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com, where what's real lasts forever.
Are you looking for a new, pre-owned, or used car to get you around the city or simply from point A to point B? Look no further. Jay's Used Cars is the place to be. Jay believes your job is your credit, and no matter what your situation is, Jay will get you in a car. Visit Jay's at 3820 Lawrenceville Highway in Tucker and mention Sports Roundtable, get a 10% discount. Go to jaysusedcars.com to check out the inventory. Jay's Used Cars, where they stack them deep and sell them cheap.
Sports Roundtable.
On Julio's drop, well, you saw that Kurt Coleman like kind of consoled Julio a little bit. Say you were on the other team and you saw their best receiver drop a pass like that. Would you have said anything to him?
Well, Julio's 6'3" and weighs at least, you know, 230 and has 2% body fat. I'm not saying a damn thing to him. He would tear me apart. I'm staying hundreds of feet away.
Only on 1100 AM, the Worldwide Radio Network.
What do Falcons do?
Falcons rise up.
Please welcome everyone's favorite Falcoholic, David D.W. Walker.
Sports Roundtable back at you. SRT Radio. It is now time for one of my favorite segments, the Falcon Report, and he's on the phone to bring it to us. You can follow him on Twitter at FalcoholicDW, and he is our guy. As you heard, you are now on a commercial bike. DW, how you doing? How you feeling?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Hey, I'm good. I'm going to definitely have to send you that, that sound bite. I think that was just hilarious. You might have to get some T-shirts made with that, because if Matt Ryan can get some T-shirts made with what he said on Monday night, I'm pretty sure you could, too.
Absolutely.
All right, DW, let's go ahead and get this thing started off. The listeners are listening, and they want to know your thoughts on the game from Monday night.
You know, division games are always they always go a little bit outside the norm. So it was a lot closer than I thought it would be. I really thought the Falcons would have an opportunity to dominate this game, especially with some of the injuries the Buccaneers had on defense. And it was just another one of those games where something went wrong, whether it was Ryan being inaccurate of some passes or guys dropping the ball or some, you know, inexplicable penalties. It just seemed like nothing was consistently working, and you know they still got the win, which is fantastic. But it was not a great looking victory. So if you're going for style points, they did not rack up the style points on Monday.
Gotcha. So the Falcons have won 4 games this year on the last play. They won 1 game this year next to the last play, and they won a game, 1 game in the last 90 seconds, and they lost 2 games in the last 60 seconds. With all of those, with that information, would you consider them battle-tested, or the Falcons are what they are?
You know what? I really think the old adage that you are what your record says you are still holds true. I think, you know, they are a 9-5 team currently. I think they've won some pretty tough games. They've held tight in some games. They've let the lead collapse in others. They're inconsistent, which is something we've been saying all year long. But I don't know, honestly, from week to week, I don't know what to predict with this team. And I don't know what we can label them, because, you know, one day they're putting up 30 points and looking dominant on defense, and then the next they're on the struggle bus against the Buccaneers. So if you've got an idea of what that means, I'd love to hear it.
I understand that. The Falcons last year was second, had the second or third fewest drops with 11 drops last year. This year they already have 26. How much can you contribute just that stat alone to the struggle bus?
I think it's a big factor. I've heard some people try to dismiss it, but the reality is if you look at some of those drops specifically, they were drops that happened on third downs that either killed drives, or, you know, if we look back at the Julio drop in the end zone, it was a drop that could have led to a lead, you know, in the game. That would have, you know, been a win against the Panthers and put us in much better position at this point in the season. So, you know, it's not just the number itself. It's where many of these drops have been happening. You know, key third downs, scoring plays. And then on top of that, you have several of those drops where they ended up being interceptions and points for the other team. So, you know, that's even worse, as we've seen not only more drops, we've seen those drops turn into points for the opposition. I think it's definitely a factor, and it's something that has been the most disappointing thing I've seen on the offense this year.
All right. You're listening to Sports Roundtable on the phone. We have the Falcoholic DW on the phone giving us the Falcon report.
D-Dub, what's up, man? This is Sports Superhero. How's it working for you today?
Oh, wonderful.
That's good. Hey, look, man, I was just watching Free run the ball. You know, he runs with so much force. Is that are the Falcons as an organization starting to get a little worried on how many carries he can get this year? Because he's taking some licks. He's delivering some, but he's taking some licks. So, I mean, are you starting to think about maybe looking for the future and kind of holding some of those carries off of him? I know, you know, you're short of running back this week, but without him last night or the night before last, we wouldn't have won the game. So how do you think the organization is feeling about that?
You know, I think you have to have depth, period. And, you know, missing Tevin Coleman this week, you know, being out with, you know, the concussion, and he's still in the concussion protocol as of today's practice. So things, you know, don't necessarily look good for him returning on Sunday against the Saints. But, you know, one thing, you know, if I go back and look at the Michael Turner days, you know, he used to carry the ball over 300 times a season. And something that people don't, you know, really talk about is when the playoffs came around, he was completely spent. If you look at the first few years in the playoffs, when it was a run-first offense, he didn't get above 50 yards in those playoff losses. And I think that is a factor. I think they've learned a lesson from that, and I think they want to continue to have, you know, running back by committee on this team. So, yeah, I think Devontae is a fantastic running back, but I don't see him prospering if he's getting too many carries during the course of a season.
Right, and he hadn't been known as a fumbler much, but he kind of laid it on the ground here, you know, lately like that. I mean, is that just ball security, or is that just running without, you know, with a little reckless abandon now? What do you feel about that?
It's very uncharacteristic. He's actually been very good about, you know, securing the ball, and we've seen it a lot these past two games. One has to wonder, you know, if there are some, you know, symptoms from the concussions that he's suffered this year. You know, is that contributing to, you know, the drops and, you know, some of the things we're seeing from him? I have noticed, you know, he runs extremely violent this year, which I've enjoyed watching, but I think the flip side of that as well is that it does expose him to some bigger hits from the, you know, exactly, the defenders. So I think it's a combination of those things. He really has to settle down because he's raising everyone's collective blood pressure a little bit too much.
Yeah. Now, as far as Matt and his accuracy, what have you noticed? Is it the throwing motion? Is it the plays? What is it that's causing him to misfire on some of these passes? Because, you know, that's one thing about Matt. He had been accurate, if nothing else. So what do you see as the problem there?
I think in the games where he's had consistent struggles with accuracy, so if you look back to the Vikings game, I think, you know, that's where he struggled the most. I think it's footwork. And Ryan's footwork tends to suffer when he is under duress in the pocket. And this isn't a surprise to anybody. We've known this about Ryan, you know, from day one. He is a classic pocket passer. And, you know, if he doesn't have the time in the pocket to set his feet, his accuracy is going to suffer. You know, he's he's built sort of like Tom Brady in that mold. You know, they have to have time to set their feet, you know, get their bodies turned and put their bodies into the throw. I think that's the biggest factor. I'm not sure what was going on against the Buccaneers because he had plenty of time in the pocket and was still missing some throws through the game. So for now, I'm going to write that off as an anomaly since they weren't pressuring him as much. But I think by and large, this season, the overall trend has been when he gets pressured, his accuracy drops.
Yeah. Now, one thing I was encouraged by, to watch him get out of the pocket and make plays with his legs is kind of encouraging to keep drives alive. I do want him to be a little careful, though, diving head first because we had some injuries and he's really not comfortable sliding. Looks like he's he might need a few lessons. So I don't know. He's kind of tumbling down instead of sliding down. But at least I do see it's like he's a little more we use the word spry, but he looks a little quicker this year for some reason.
We may enjoy it, but I think his wife is probably holding her breath every time he moves outside the pocket, to be honest. He's got twins on the way. He doesn't need to be exposing himself to big hits.
Yeah, that's true. But he took so many knocks about not going after it. To see him go get it, I think that'll get him a lot of credit out there, you know, from the football fans. So.
All right, on the phone we have D.W. from the Falcoholic doing the Falcon Report. You listen to Sports Roundtable. D.W., New Orleans have two Pro Bowl running backs this year. They have claimed to have the best duo in the football league now. My question is, the Falcons are looking at McCaffrey catch balls out the backfield. They're looking at Kamara in the same division. Does that kind of put pressure on the Falcons to kind of keep Coleman to go along with Devontae to kind of keep the pressure off of Devontae, but also give us at least that dual threat that we can have someone out of the backfield?
Oh, it's a great question. And honestly, the Falcons' offense is at its best when the running game is working. And, you know, as we've seen, when one guy has gone down, the other guy has been able to step up. You know, when Devontae was out, Tevin Coleman stepped up. You know, obviously, Devontae had a really good game on Monday night when, you know, with Tevin Coleman down. If we can't keep Coleman, and I think there's reason to believe that just from a cap standpoint, we won't be able to keep him, they've got to find a suitable replacement. I think, you know, it's everything in the NFL is cyclical, and we're back to NFL teams realizing that you have to be able to run the ball. And I think we've seen it now, like you said, with the Panthers and with the Saints in the division. A good running game sets up the rest of the offense. So, yeah, I think even if it's not Tevin Coleman, the Falcons absolutely have to make sure they have a good squad of running backs going forward. I think it's, you know, it's the wave for the next few years.
I got you. All right, so congratulations to Alex Mack and Julio Jones for being selected as Atlanta Falcons Pro Bowlers. Do you, in your mind, think that any other Falcons got Pro Bowl snubbed?
I've seen people talk about a few names. I think if you're going to bring up any name on the Falcons, it's probably going to be Grady Jarrett. And I think simply he doesn't have the sack numbers that generally get defensive linemen in. But, you know, from snap to snap, Jarrett has been one of the best defensive tackles in the league this year. He is disruptive in the run game and the pass game. I feel like he certainly deserved it. You could probably make a case for Desmond Trufant. And you know, I think Deion Jones has come on as of late. I don't necessarily think he deserves to go to the Pro Bowl, but I think he is a Pro Bowl caliber player on this team. So those are the three names that I would bring up. You know, certainly from this roster.
All right, I got a question, an email bag question. Someone sent this in. They said, we were very high on Duke Riley during preseason, at the beginning of the season, and things of that nature. Your thoughts on his season and drafting Duke Riley and what he has brought to the team?
Well, he's struggled. And it's not uncommon for a third-round rookie to struggle in their first year. You know, he also had the injury in the middle of the season, which certainly didn't help. You know, it's I think the thing that people forget is before his injury, he had the same number of missed tackles that Deion Jones did at that point in his rookie season. So he wasn't necessarily trending, you know, horribly. It was, I think we tend to forget that, you know, Deion had those missed tackles as well because he had the big plays that, you know, the big interceptions that made us really take notice of him. Again, with these young guys, it really comes down to years two and three. You know, that first year, it's easy to get wrapped up in how these guys perform, but I like to remind people that, you know, Justin Houston, he had a pretty rough rookie year, too. You know, pretty rough first couple of years until he really, you know, came alive. So, you know, NFL is you know, really punishing on rookies. I'm going to wait to see what we've got with Duke until, you know, 2018.
Okay. Your keys to keep your keys to winning against the Saints this week.
Stop the run. I mean, it's that simple. And it's something the Falcons haven't done well this year. Let's be honest. It's been our biggest Achilles heel on defense. But you've got to be able to snuff out Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram. If you can do that and force the, you know, the Saints into being a pass-first offense again, ironically, they struggle when they have to throw the ball a lot. So, you know, I never thought I would hear the day when I would say that, but that is the case with them this year. Stop the run. You've got a good chance of winning this game.
All right. With that being said, let's hear what your prediction sounds like.
Ooh, Saints games are so tough. I mean, it doesn't matter what the records are of the two teams. It always seems like these games are hard-fought, oftentimes very emotional. You know, sometimes the head coaches make horrible choking signs on the sidelines when they shouldn't be. I think the Falcons are going to bounce back from a weak performance on Monday night. I actually think we're going to sweep the Saints this year. I think it'll be close. So I'm going to go with a nail-biting score of 24-23.
Okay. Good deal. There you hear it. 24-23. You can find my main man, DW, on Twitter, at FalconholicDW. And, DW, you can go ahead and let everyone know how they can get your podcast.
Yes. Falconholic Podcast, which should return after the holidays. You can find it on iTunes, Stitcher, the Google Play Store, and SoundCloud.
All right, man. Well, we appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you, and let's talk soon, and let's hopefully we'll be talking about playoff plans.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas, and rise up.
Rise up.
Rise up, D-Dub.
All right, there he is, man, our main guy, D-Dub, of the Falcoholic. This segment was sponsored by The Falcoholic. You can go to thefalcoholic.com to check out all of your Falcons news and reports. In other news, we're going to talk about, and I'm pretty sure Dez want to hear about, the Georgia Bulldogs. Early signing period gets a record five stars.
Did they get everything?
Wow. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Leading Justin Fields, Zamir White, Jameer Sawyer, Cade Mays, Adam Anderson, Brenton Cox. That was the big guy out of Stockbridge. And they racking up. And then another signing period in February to close out this 2018 class. So as of right now, Georgia has the number one recruiting class in the nation.
Yeah. They picked up Dalvin Cook's little brother, too. He flipped from Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
James Cook. Yep. And they jumped Ohio State because Ohio State coming in was the number one, had the number one recruiting class.
They lost a commit, too. Then there was
they lost one to Florida.
Yeah, and then they lost one that was on the set with Game Day or something.
Yeah, he ended up flipping to Penn State.
Yeah.
Then they tried to blame Herb Street for that. But
Herb Street have a bad little run right now.
Yeah, so good. I don't know what's good. Say good.
Good.
So all you Georgia fans, you have a good reason to be looking forward to next season with Swift coming back along with. Now, they say Georgia will have the best offensive line recruiting-wise in the nation. So let's see if that translate into games.
Right.
You know, because Mark Richt didn't do bad recruiting.
Oh, he was one. They always had great recruiting.
Yeah, but they just.
They couldn't keep them all. They get in trouble.
Yeah.
And then they end up going play elsewhere in the SEC.
Yeah. And it just didn't translate on game day. So, but I'm very, very interested to see Justin Fields, the quarterback out of Harrison, up in Kennesaw.
Gut feeling. What do you think is going to happen with that? Being that the freshman this year, Fromm, has looked so good. Do you think they put Fields in? Does he change positions? Or does he really challenge for the quarterback job?
I think he redshirts.
Think he redshirts? With that talent? I don't think.
Well, either he'll come in as a backup, DJ Easton's going to transfer. Like
we're going to have another DJ Shocker
situation.
I don't believe it. See, you got five stars like that, it's kind of hard for them to know they can go somewhere in the country and play right off the bat.
Well, I think Easton out of here, so we're not even going to talk
Fields
about
Fields may have Easton's the opportunity. Gone. Fields may come in, like if he knew about the quarterback situation, he's like, I'm going to sign there anyway. He probably believes he can come in there and start next
year.
That's
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what my question is based on. Yeah, I think Easton is gone.
Ain't no doubt. LeVar Ball says he want to start a one and done league for players to, instead of going to college, and have a league for them to go pro.
So is he paying these people? Is it going to be salary?
I'm pretty sure you probably got to
be about the idea is for them to make about $10,000 a month. This may be going around high school basketball as well to have the players get paid before going to college, or because, you know, like in the G League, you can come straight out of high school and go to the G League,
right?
And with this, instead of going to college, it's also instead of playing high school basketball, you can play in this junior league. And there are other sports around the world, hockey, soccer, tennis, to where the athletes under 18 can make money by playing.
Right.
So it's basically like a junior league. It's like a farm system.
Get them, LeVar.
So
I love it.
What is his plan to finance this thing? That's
his guy has some backing. That's
he's going to have investors.
Yeah,
he's going to have investors. If he presents the plan in a way to where, you know, people can get behind it, this is something that can really work, and it could be a game changer.
Well, it's no different than what they do overseas. They play at 17, 18, they pros over there.
Yeah, like your sons are doing right now.
But this is the thing: when you start messing with the NCAA, that's like messing with the mob boss. Because you're taking away their product.
What can they do about it?
Well, exactly. I mean, I'm just saying.
No, you know what's going to happen, though.
They're doing something else.
The NBA is going to take that one and done away. That's the thing. I don't think you have to worry about the college, because I don't think they have a leg to stand on. He can kill them.
Right, I understand.
But the NBA is going to stop the one and done.
Because
if anything's going to knock him down, that's going to be that.
Because ain't but two players went overseas instead of two or three.
I think if they're smart, they'll like absorb that his junior league. If they're smart, they'll absorb the league. Like they were like, wait, why did we think of that? Or why did we try to do that?
Right. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right, LeVar.
But I mean, like, we look at Marvin Bagley. He shouldn't be playing college ball.
Yeah, I agree.
You see what I'm saying? So when the NBA, he won't go to LeVar's league. He's going to go right to the league.
Yeah. Well, if this were last year, he would be playing in that league. He wouldn't be talking about dude.
Yep, I agree. All right, let's get to some Pro Bowls selections. They were announced today. Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, A.J. Green, and Keenan Allen are the receivers for the AFC. NFC receivers, Julio Jones, Adam Thielen, Michael Thomas, and Larry Fitzgerald. Running backs for the NFC, Todd Gurley, Kamara, Ingram. And for the AFC running backs,
that was like Bell.
Bell, Hunt, and McCoy.
Shady.
What other position that means anything? Defensive end, Joey Bosa, Calais Campbell, and Khalil Mack. AFC. NFC, Everson Griffin, DeMarcus Lawrence, and Cameron Jordan. Are we leaving? Do anybody get snubbed in your opinion as far as those names?
Without a list in front of me, no, I can't think of anyone that just stands out automatically. No.
Quarterbacks, yeah. Carson Wentz, Russell Wilson, Drew Brees. That's in the NFC, of course.
Say those again.
Wentz, Brees, and Russell Wilson. And
what about Minnesota's quarterback? He had a good year.
Case Keenum.
If anybody,
well, Wentz is out, so he might fill in right there.
Brady, Rivers, and Big Ben.
Yeah, I don't think anybody should feel upset about being snubbed, because chances are a lot of the players that's being named now, they won't play.
Or some of them will be in the Super Bowl.
Exactly. So, you know, somebody, they'll get a chance anyway. So I don't think anybody should feel left out or be snubbed. If you deserve to be there, there's a good chance that you'll probably still be there anyway.
Exactly. All right, question. Is Todd Gurley MVP candidate?
It's a quarterback. Unless you do some, like almost a 2,000-yard season as a running back.
He got 17 touchdowns.
Yeah, but still.
He got more touchdowns.
He's only the league's third leading rusher, yeah, and he hasn't cracked 1,200 yards yet.
It's not going to happen. This is a quarterback's award.
Even though the turnaround for the team doesn't make a case.
Doesn't matter.
People would look more at Goff than Gurley, even though there are quarterbacks with better numbers than Goff. I mean, I think Antonio Brown could be considered for MVP. He was approaching 2,000 yards before he got hurt,
right?
But now he has no chance.
Yeah, it's
always going to be a quarterback. Yeah. I have heard the suggestion to where there should be a quarterback award, like how baseball has the Cy Young.
Right,
there should be a quarterback award, and then an MVP for a non-quarterback.
You gonna name it the Peyton Manning Award?
Well, it might be Peyton because he won like five or six of them. It might be Favre.
Regular season guy, no doubt.
Joe Montana.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, he might have a shot at the consolation prize.
He's sponsored by Papa John.
Oh, no.
Or Nationwide.
Yeah. All right. So Diddy was talking about buying the team. Even Steph had threw his name out for whatever reason. I guess it's just for what they call it, for laugh and giggles.
Look, man, there's different levels of money, and the guys that we're talking about, they're rich, but you need to be wealthy. It's a difference.
Did you find out like how much Diddy would have to pay off the top?
Yes.
$600 million. He's got to write a check for $600 million.
Wow.
Sandy Saab said on Twitter, he going to need Oprah.
Yeah, he needs. he need more than Oprah, man. It's people out there make Oprah look like she got no account.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, really, so much money out here in this world.
I think he approached it the wrong way. I think in this case, I think he was a victim of social media.
Smooth. There's only one way he couldn't have approached it this way. That's to been born Caucasian.
Yeah. You're right.
Let's just be real. But look, man, the only time we own stuff like that is, like I told you, on Soul Play. That's a movie.
Right.
That's a movie.
It's not going to happen for the brothers, man.
All right, real quick before we go to break, Kendrick Lamar, halftime. National championship game. Your thoughts on it?
I think it's an excellent move.
Centennial Park.
Yeah, it probably doesn't make sense for the college football's demographic, but I love it. I mean, you know, this is a guy who's widely regarded as, you know, the greatest rapper of this generation, at least. So I love the move.
UG, I mean, you're a music guy.
I agree with Jay that it's the demographic, especially with the specific teams that are in the playoff.
Yeah.
And the states that they play in.
Yeah.
I love that y'all being politically here. Love it.
It's very interesting, but it's really been a halftime show that hasn't mattered. I don't even know who performed in a halftime show last year. So it hasn't been something that's mattered. But it's interesting that it's him. I'll see if he'll do something a Beyonce-esque performance to where, you know, there's some kind of political statement made. But
what was that we had last Saturday here at the Dome when Gremlin and
the here
North Carolina NT?
That's where he should perform.
Celebration Bowl.
Yeah, Celebration Bowl. It'd have been on fire right there. That's where he needed.
Could they afford him though?
No,
the winning team couldn't afford to get championship rings or T-shirts. I don't know if they could afford to pay Kendrick Lamar.
Oh my God! No. Woo! All right, man, we gotta go to break. That's gonna end our first half of the show. Stay with us, man. You listen to Sports Roundtable. We'll be back for the second half of the show. Rayman coming up with his picks. SRT.
Are you thinking about changing the station? You're only hurting yourself. Keep listening to Sports Roundtable on 1100 AM.
You're tuned into WWWE Lakeville, AM 1100.
The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
Basketball season is already underway, and even though you're playing, you want to take your game to the next level. That's where the Bo Bell Basketball Academy comes in. For boys and girls ages 6 and up, Atlanta's own Bo Bell has played and coached basketball all around the world and is here to share his philosophies to help any player maximize their potential. Visit CoachBoBell.com for details about upcoming camps or call 770-912-4104 for more information. Bo Bell Basketball Academy. Maximize your true potential.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country, and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
Okay, so where do more Americans turn first in the morning to start their day? Go on, tell them, Robin.
Good morning, America.
George.
Good morning, America.
Lara.
Good morning, America.
So, take it from Robin.
Put some good in your morning.
With ABC's Good Morning America.
Sports Roundtable.
Penn State made all the plays in the first half to where, like, it seemed like they were just way above, like, levels above Ohio State. And then J.T. Barrett just he kind of showed why he's been this great quarterback for so many decades at Ohio State.
on the Worldwide Radio Network, 1100 AM.
Uh-oh, Breezy.
Yeah.
Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
SRT.
Yeah.
Crew.
Whoa.
SRT. Yeah. They got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to SRT today. H.O. got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Okay. Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron.
Oh, no.
I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll tie forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with SRT. Behind the glass, that G-Money. Man with a strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? Sports Roundtable, second hour of the show. Thanks for tuning in for that first hour. I had my main man, DW, called in. We had some hot news. We talked about Kobe. Talked about the Panthers. Hancock said not so fast on Seattle. And Jay Smooth said, I don't care if the Celtics get AD, as long as LeBron is playing. Hey, it is what it is. We also talked about some officiating, and that's, we can go on forever with that. But right now, we're about to jump into Fruit Cup City, because we got our main guy on the phone. He's going to give you the picks of the week, but this will be for the rest of the year. So my main man, Slick Money, Rain Man, P. picks of the week.
Are you ready for some football? Are you ready to win some fruit cups?
Those who are tardy do not get fruit cups.
We'll get ready because it's time for the Rain Man's picks of the week.
My main man, Slick Money, Rain Man, is on the phone. Happy Merry Christmas to you. How you doing, sir, in your retirement?
Doing great, homeboy. What's up, SRT crew?
What up, what up?
Slick Money.
You got your nephew sitting in for D-Wheel today, so your nephew is in the building.
Jay Smooth in the show.
Smooth is in here representing the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, that's my main man right there.
Look at God.
Look at God. Yeah, look at God.
All right, Slick. Everybody been waiting on this. You gonna give everybody at least allow everybody to win some fruit cups before the end of the year. So let's go ahead and start it off with your lock.
My lock, I am going to college football. It's going to be the Cotton Bowl, which is going to be held, I guess, in Jerry's world. I like USC plus 7 versus Ohio State.
USC plus 7.
Yeah. That is my lock.
Okay. They always seem to play good at the end of the year, though, don't they? I tell you what, they need to tighten up. All right, so that's your lock. Give me your upset.
My upset of, well, I won't say of the week, but it's going to be New Year's Day. I'm going to the Sugar Bowl down in New Orleans. I'm taking Clemson Tigers plus 3. Clemson. I think Clemson will beat Alabama because they're not afraid of them. This beat 3 times. This is the rematch. So I'm going with Clemson Tigers plus 3. I'm sorry, Clemson plus 3.
Clemson plus 3. All right, do you have a blowout? And you would have had one last night because Lane Kiffin did not let up. Boy, he did not let up.
And you know what? Did you see the highlights of them dancing after the game?
I did not.
I saw it.
Yeah, it's sad because they keep doing the dab. Dab's over with, man.
There it is.
But anyway, let's get back to the same reason we talked about my blowout.
They won't know who Kendrick Lamar is.
Memphis, Tennessee. Memphis, Tennessee, where the Liberty Bowl is playing, I'm taking Memphis Tigers minus 3 against Iowa State Cyclones.
That's a good one. I might roll with you on that one.
Yeah, and they're playing in that Memphis, so I can't see. I could be wrong, but I think Memphis should beat them by more than 3.
So is Anthony Miller playing? I hope he's not.
Not sure if he's playing, but if he was my son, he wouldn't play.
You got that right.
Yeah, we got to make sure we check that before we pull the trigger. But, yeah, Anthony Miller probably go for 300 yards if he played, you know, to move up that draft board. But I think he's already pretty set. But, boy, this will really put a nail in the coffin. All right, Slick, you have any bonuses?
Yeah, so those was my 3 picks for the selection from here to New Year's Day.
Okay.
So now my bonus picks is going to be NFL picks for this weekend.
Okay.
Okay, so my first pick is I like the Falcons plus 6 against New Orleans. It's a rivalry game. It's a must-win for the Falcons. I think 6 points is a lot of points. I think that last game they played, New Orleans should have won, so they really want to knock the Falcons out. But I think 6 points is a little too much, so I'm going to take the Falcons plus 6.
Okay, I like that one too. All right, give me your next bonus.
My next bonus, I'm going to Nashville, my homeboys, Tennessee Titans. I think Tennessee Titans shot their load for the year. Don't get me wrong, I like them. But I think the Rams minus 6 is a good play. I think the Rams are better than Tennessee. And I want my boys to win, but I think the Rams are clicking on all cylinders right now. So it's the Rams minus 6.
Gotcha, against Tennessee. Cool. All right, what you got for your last one?
My last one, I'm going to Jerry's World again. I think the Cowboys, by getting Zeke back, they really going to be clicking. Seattle is really bad, man, when they got 3 or 4 of their defensive players out. So I think Seattle shot their load, too. So Russ and the gang, look for them next year. But I think Dallas minus 5 is good. So I like Dallas minus 5 at home to go ahead and throw the dirt on top of Seattle Seahawks.
All right, we had a little discussion. You think Seattle is done?
Yeah, they dumb, bro. I can't. Rams made them look like they was really like a college team.
Okay. Yeah, they didn't look good. All right, to go over your picks, your lock was USC plus 7 versus Ohio State. You took Clemson plus 3 over Alabama as your upset. Memphis minus 3 in a blowout of versus Iowa State Cyclones. Your bonuses, you took Atlanta plus 6 versus New Orleans. The Rams minus 6 against your boys, Tennessee. And you took Dak and Zeke back with the Cowboys, Dallas minus 5 versus Seattle.
That's correct.
All right. All right, Slick, man, we really, really appreciate it. We want to wish you a merry, merry Christmas and a happy new year, but I'll probably see you before the year is out. We really appreciate you doing this for us this whole year. Let's do it again in 2018. Anything you want to say, shout out before you end it for the year.
Okay, hey, man, shout out to the SRT crew. And real quick, I don't know if y'all going to talk about this the next hour, but if y'all don't talk about it, the Big Baller Brand, his concept of this AU-type thing getting paid is an excellent idea. I hope they jump on it. I don't know if you guys want to talk about it. If not, do it next week. But, man, that's a great concept with the Ball Brand coming up with the high school kids not going to college their first year and just playing professional ball with the Ball Brand as, you know, an AU-type thing getting paid.
Okay. Yeah, we talked about it earlier. We kind of mentioned it, and G said it was a genius idea as well.
Yeah, I think if everybody get on board with that, man, that'd be awesome, man. I really would.
Yeah,
I think that's a good idea.
I think,
but that's it, man. I wish all you guys a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year's. I love y'all, man. And I just hope I see you guys real soon. And good luck.
All right, man. Appreciate right, it. Love money. You too, Slick, bro. All right,
okay,
man. Bro. Yeah, Slick Money bringing them picks to us. I like, definitely like the Memphis pick.
Do you?
Yeah, definitely like that one. Anthony Miller has to play, though. Like the Falcons pick. And I like Dallas.
There are no reports yet that Anthony Miller isn't playing.
Okay.
So.
Well, I love the Memphis pick.
What's that over on that, G?
Because that's.
Because neither one of them going to stop him.
Yeah, they're not. They're not going to stop each other. Period. It's crazy. So, I was wondering, trying to come up with a total. I guess Slick was plus for this year. Did pretty good this last week, so we'll give him a thumbs up on the yearly
Rain Man.
Yeah, on the yearly
on
thing.
On the tally.
So, yeah.
It's at 66.
Oh, yes. Circle that.
Circle that.
Yeah, that ain't
enough. Nobody going to stop you, though.
They all might right. have that at halftime.
There it is. All right, with that being said, man, let's talk some NFL, and let's jump right into our roundtable discussion.
The roundtable discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
Roundtable discussion sponsored by Bo Bell Basketball. If you have any youngsters, 6 and up, he said 3 or 4 last time. It doesn't matter. 3, 4, 5, 6 and up, the ages, go to BoBellBasketballAcademy.com. Get your train on with the best 40 years of experience. And you already know, feet work. That's what we practice. We're going to see if we can write a note to Matt Ryan and see if he can get down there to get that feet work done. Because, as DW said, he's inaccuracy because he's jumping. Footwork. Feet work, baby. All right. NFL playoff picture looks like this. AFC, the Patriots has the number one seed. Thanks to, well, you know, Pittsburgh, number two. Number three seed is the Jacksonville Jaguars. Kansas City Chiefs, fourth seed, Tennessee Titans, Jay Smooth, fifth seed, and the Buffalo Bills, sixth. Do you see this staying this way?
No, it could very easily fall apart this weekend. You know, with the Rams going to Tennessee, that's a tough game for Tennessee.
That's a tough game for Tennessee.
And also, I think Buffalo has the Patriots. And the Patriots still have to keep winning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's a big. So I don't know. That's not going to really bode well. But a lot of times, I think it's somewhat similar when teams have these big games. Having to come back and play another big game after that can kind of make you play down. So I kind of look for New England to struggle this week. Honestly, to be honest with you, I kind of look for them to struggle. They were Buffalo this week.
Yeah, they playing in New England though, and then Miami has Kansas City, which could be one of those games.
Jake, man, quarterback situation, man, it's horrible, man. Miami's quarterback situation is horrible.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
That's a break.
Pittsburgh, do they have this week? Because they got to keep winning as well. Houston, Monday night.
Yeah, I think they get that one. Houston's quarterback situation is bad. Also, they have T.J. Yates playing, and that's
not good.
Have to say anything about that. That's horrible, man. The quarterback situation in some of these teams is just deplorable. And for them to just keep putting these sorry quarterbacks out there is ridiculous, man.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, no doubt. If Miami beats Kansas City and the Chargers beat the Jets, that can put a little wrinkle in that. And that'll shake up that 5 and 6 seed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because Tennessee, again, they got to play the Rams. So a lot of this can be shaken up on this. I think 1, 2, and 3 probably is pretty much settled at this point.
Yeah, I actually expect Baltimore to sneak in.
You do?
Yeah. Baltimore right on the outside as well.
They play the Colts Saturday, and they finish with the Bengals, who've pretty much given up.
Yeah, they've given up. So I like that, Smooth. That looks good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because let me see what their record is right now.
I think they're 8.
Baltimore is
8-6.
8-6, so that'll get them 10 wins.
Yeah.
And the Buffalo has the tiebreaker over them based on strength of victory.
Really?
So they have the same record, but Buffalo has
So Buffalo will have to lose.
Yeah. If they both win, Buffalo will still have that edge.
Well, it might not matter because I think Tennessee is done also. I think they take a loss this week, and I think if Jacksonville, if they still have anything left to play for at the end of week 17, I think that's it for Tennessee.
Jay, with you being a Titan fan, what did you see? What's the problems there?
Well, last year they ran the ball a lot better. The offensive line play was a lot better. DeMarco Murray, he's regressed. I think there's been a struggle in the backfield. Derrick Henry has looked like the better back all season long, but they've continued to stick with DeMarco Murray, and reason being, I think he's still under that contract that he got going to Philly. But Marcus Mariota, he's probably the most important piece, and he's regressed this year. There were high expectations going into this year, and he hadn't lived up to those. They don't have an offensive identity. They sort of build themselves on this exotic smash mouth football. They wanted to run the ball, but the thing they do best, they hadn't done it well this year, and Marcus Mariota, he hadn't been able to pick up that slack and throw the ball.
Well, let me ask you, when we talk about Mariota, the one thing that set him apart being out of college was his legs, and it seems as though they don't want him to use them. It looks like they're trying to make him
a pocket,
that pocket pass.
Right.
Do you think that's a lot of what's going on, too? I mean, just not letting him be what he really is?
I agree. They haven't incorporated many of some plays that would help him step outside of the pocket. And on top of that, I think it's a lot of it is receivers aren't getting open. Our number one pick, Corey Davis, he hadn't played the majority of the year.
Right.
They expected big things out of him. They signed an Eric Decker. Rishard Matthews, the guy they picked up from Miami, he's done pretty well, but they haven't designed a lot of plays to get Mariota in space and to create for, himself and others. And that's been a problem. I think it's time for a new coordinator. I think Terry Robiski, who was the receivers coach with Atlanta, the Falcons. Right. He's there. I'm not sure, what his future is in Tennessee, but honestly, for me, I think it's time to move on. I think they need to find a new offensive identity.
Yeah, and a lot of times when you talk about quarterback with legs, the usage of them being able to use them on third downs and to move the chain is the great asset,
right,
to where you can get another set of downs where you can run the ball and at least hold the ball from the other team and things of that nature. You got DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry, which when I first heard about that, I thought that would probably be one of the best duo backfields in the NFL, based on what they previously have done.
Right.
But
I think they need to flip the usage, like you said. I think
yeah,
they need to make Murray more of the supplemental count,
right,
you know, supplement back.
Mm-hmm.
Does it seem like they try to use Henry like late in the game?
They do.
They do.
But if you're behind, you can't really use right. him like
exactly.
that.
Unless he's close. Yeah, you're right.
So,
you're right.
Yeah, I agree with flipping the usage.
And
yeah.
it only worked that one Monday night game. I think it was against the Colts when Henry came in and ran. He had a 100-yard game that game, but, you know, he's more physically imposing back, and he can wear teams down the way DeMarco can't. So.
Yeah. All right, so let's flip to the NFC. Obviously, the Eagles, number one seed, and the Vikings are number two. And the Rams are number three. I think those are pretty much set. 4, 5, and 6 is the NFC South. Saints, Panthers, Falcons. 4, 5, and 6. Do you see this being the way that it's going to be set up?
I think they're going to. This is like the SEC back in the day. They're going to cannibalize each other. Because I think the Falcons play Carolina and New Orleans.
Yeah.
They have to win
back
out
to back
too.
Weeks.
Yeah, so that's going to be tough. I mean, I think it's possible that two get in, but somebody's going to get knocked out because they play each other head-to-head.
Well, Carolina only plays – they've already lost to the Saints twice. And they play
Tampa Bay and Falcons.
And the Falcons.
And New Orleans plays the Falcons and Tampa Bay, I think. Is that right?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, they're all divisional games.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
The Saints have the Tampa Bay on the road to end the season.
Yeah.
The way Jameis played last night, he's just looking to take somebody down.
He is.
I mean, he played well last night.
Monday night.
Well, Monday night, I'm sorry.
So, yeah.
Night before last.
That is. But it'll be. Wouldn't it be something for all three NFC South teams to get in?
It would, but do you think it's going to happen like that? Who else?
Mathematically, Detroit, Seattle, and Dallas are still alive.
Yeah. Dallas has a big one if they can get past Seattle.
Yeah, if they get Seattle, that would end it for Seattle. And trying to pull up Detroit.
They got Philly.
Here.
They have Philly at the end of the year, but I don't know if Philly will be playing
all their players.
They won't really have anything to play for. I think if they win this upcoming game, they'll clinch the number one seed.
Or if Minnesota loses.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Detroit does have the Bengals and the Packers to end the season, so even if Detroit wins out,
they lose to the Falcons because of the tiebreaker.
Right.
If they both have the same record.
The Falcons got the tiebreaker over all of them.
Yeah.
They do have the tiebreaker. Currently, Detroit has the tiebreaker over Seattle and Dallas. They're all 8-6. But Detroit has they have the tiebreaker based on best win percentage in conference games.
Okay. And you said Detroit has who left?
Cincinnati and Green Bay.
See, they
they're playing against
Green
Andy
Bay.
Dalton and Hundley.
Right, because Hundley will be the quarterback now. Green Bay is shedding Aaron Rodgers now.
Yep. All right. Jaguars, 10-4, third seed. Can they win a playoff game?
You know, the defense that they have, they possibly can. Their defense is seriously legit. And Bortles has, you know, I'm just going to be honest, the last two games he has come on and looked great. If that can continue, they do have the one thing that you need when you talk about playoffs. They have a great run game and a great defense. And if he can just make a few plays and not put them in bad situations, they could be somebody to reckon with for real in the playoffs.
Now, they are slated to play the number 6 seed, which could be the Buffalo or Baltimore, is Jay Smooth.
They can beat either
of those teams. Right now it will be Buffalo.
So, Smooth, how do you look at Jaguars? Now, Hancock say they have the recipe, but one recipe that they're missing is the experience in the playoffs.
Right. And I completely agree. And I think when D-Dub came on, he probably said it best. NFL teams are starting to realize that you're going to have to run the ball to win. And I expect Jacksonville, if they can close out these next two games without Fournette and bring him back fresh in the playoffs. You guys said that they have the formula. They play defense well. And I really feel like the Patriots are beatable this year. Well, that's assuming they make it past wild card weekend. So let's just stick with Baltimore,
Buffalo,
and those others. None of those teams scare. Well, Baltimore maybe, because Alex Collins, he's come on, and Terrell Suggs and Baltimore's defense, they're not experience. The great experience.
But let's think about the team you're talking about with that. When you talk about offense with Baltimore, they don't have anybody but Mike Wallace that might be able to get deep.
Right.
And if you're just going to try to line up and play smash mouth football against Jacksonville, you got problems.
Right.
That defense is legit. And if you definitely, if you have to come to them. Now, maybe if you went to Buffalo and that cold or whatever, it'd be different. But Buffalo would have to come to them, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They got a home.
See, that's what I'm saying. Field. I think with them having the home field advantage, and I understand that they don't have experience, but Buffalo doesn't have it either.
Right. And all of the teams that we're talking about, they're pretty much the same team. They do the same things, some better, some worse. And I think Jacksonville is a team that plays defense and runs the ball better than Buffalo and Baltimore. So Jacksonville is pretty scared to me.
They are.
I'll just ask, do you think they could beat, because technically they're still eligible for the playoffs, could they beat a team like the Chargers? Again, the Jags did beat them
earlier
this season. But could they beat a team like the Chargers the way they've been playing the last couple of months?
Well, yeah, I think so. The old Phillip Rivers, he showed up last Saturday. I mean, he had, what, two or three interceptions?
Yeah, he looked bad.
Keenan Allen, they expect him to play Sunday, but there were some issues with his back. But with Jacksonville's defensive line, Malik, what's his name? I forget his last name. Malik, the defensive lineman.
Jackson?
Malik Jackson, Calais Campbell. I mean, they're among the league leaders in sacks among duos. And then you have in that defensive backfield,
Jalen
Ramsey, who's, you know, proven to be well worth it, high draft pick. And A.J. Boye, who they stole from Houston.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they have difference makers at every level. That's what I love about Jacksonville. And I honestly, I'll say it now, I won't be surprised if they make a Super Bowl run.
Are we trusting Bortles that much? I trust that defense, man.
Look, well, you can hide him, though, G.
Yeah.
unless you play in teams.
I don't know if you can hide a quarterback in the playoffs.
But
in the season, but I don't know if you can hide a quarterback in the playoffs.
Look, let me give you an example.
Peyton Manning.
Baltimore hid
Trent Dilfer.
Flacco for years.
But
Trent Dilfer got hidden.
Brad Johnson.
Johnson got hidden.
They are all better than Blake Bortles,
but
man.
You had great defense. That's what I'm saying. Defense and run games can help you. I'm telling you, they can. And the thing about it, like I said, what he just said, New England is vulnerable. They are. And we don't know what AB is going to be coming back from,
exactly.
from the leg injury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't know. We do know they still had Le'Veon, but Ben will give you a ball. Ben will let you get a ball from it.
And we saw it. He threw five picks against him earlier this year.
I mean, that defense they got is for real, man.
Yeah.
So, which brings me, maybe this is kind of off the subject, which brings me to a point that I made earlier in the year. Who was the head coach for Jacksonville before?
Coughlin. What are you talking about? Before this guy?
Before Maroney?
Malarkey. Gus Bradley.
Malarkey's before him.
Who was the defensive coordinator at Seattle, went to the head coach, built the defense, and I'm still trying to figure out why Dan Quinn didn't hire him as a defensive coordinator this year.
Mm. Why he didn't hire Gus Bradley?
Right.
Maybe they might not have been as tight in Seattle as we expected them to. You would think they would have been.
He know the defense.
There could have been a power struggle there.
Yeah, but until I find that information out, I'm still wondering.
Yeah.
Right. You know, why would you, you know, okay, that's a whole other subject. All right.
He appreciates Marquand Manuel's style, I guess.
Hey, he gave a brother a chance. Just look at it that way.
That's what it is. I got you. Most impressive season. Rams, Eagles, Jacksonville.
Still a lot to be written, man, but that's a hard. I mean, nobody in here, I believe, could say they thought the Rams or Jacksonville would be at this point. Well, what we saw from the Rams last year, nobody said, well, the Rams are a team that can do this. The quarterback situation was horrible. the defense gave up a lot of points and whatever. We didn't see that. To look at Jacksonville, they had always been a team that they said, well, they got the makings if they can get healthy, but nobody really said they could do anything.
Yeah, I thought Philly had a chance.
Who was that?
I was expecting Jacksonville to be better last year, because the year before, I thought, okay, Bortles might be something, and then it was just fell off a cliff last year. So
I grant you that. But I saw something in Philly, but those other two, I didn't really see it.
You smooth. Yeah.
I agree. It was hard to see, and this answer could probably go three different ways. But for me, it's probably the Rams. They're probably the most surprising and unexpected. And we've talked about Sean McVay all season, but
he your age,
yeah, he is. We're actually saying, yeah, I could have been an NFL head coach. Right. But to see his most important move was probably bringing in Wade Phillips to coach the defense. And
yes,
the way they looked on Sunday, and I think the Rams, they might, well, we still have 2 weeks to play, but the Rams, they might be peaking at the right time.
You think, you said most important move. He may have been the most important move, though, by
what he
did with that quarterback.
Exactly, exactly.
I mean, think about it. The two quarterbacks that played for them last year are now head and shoulders in the top echelon of the league when you look at with what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they couldn't even throw the ball. They did nothing for the Rams last year.
Nothing.
And you can count, like, with Goff and Keenum and Foles, who was their previous coach? Jeff Fisher.
Yeah.
That was the key move. Getting Fisher out of there.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I'm kind of scared with the Eagles now. I don't know if Foles
is that
guy.
You don't trust Foles?
No, I don't. And it's bothering me that they're actually thinking about sitting out games the last, well, if Minnesota loses, they're not going to play Foles on Monday night. And, you know, they won't play him in Week 17. And I think Philly is going to lose a lot of momentum because they struggled with
it. It happened with Dallas last year.
Yeah. They struggled with New York.
Dallas last year.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. They struggled with New York on Sunday.
They did.
Yeah, Eli looked like his brother. The old Eli man.
He was throwing the ball.
Yeah, he was throwing the ball for sure. Gurley, then they snatch up two Buffalo Bills receivers.
Right.
Then you still had
Tavon.
Yeah.
Tavon Austin.
The Rams, man.
Yeah. Robert Woods looks like a number one receiver right now. When he was, before he got hurt 2 games ago,
right,
he was unstoppable.
Yeah.
And I mean, won't even talk about Sammy Watkins that way. I mean, you know, we talking about a pick that came out was supposed to be one of the big time wide receivers.
Right.
And he was really taking a back seat to what Woods was doing. If you look at it, Woods was making big plays for them.
I agree. He has supplanted Sammy as the number one receiver.
I'm even hearing stuff that they might not even bring Sammy back next year.
Why? What's the point? I don't think they need him.
That's big. All right, let's talk about these same two teams, or let's just throw this out. The defense that you would take, the Rams or the Jaguars?
Jags. For me. But superhero, the Jags defense. They nasty. They talk. They don't care. The secondary, we talked about him a minute ago.
Jalen Ramsey.
Jalen Ramsey does not care about anybody that doesn't wear his uniform. And he let it be known. And that's the attitude that I love on that defense. They don't, there's no friends. And you can see it. But he give me that defense.
Yeah, I play Devil's advocate, and I take the Rams defense. I appreciate that 3-4 defense, and I love there's just something about the 3-4 and the versatility. You have four linebackers in that defense, and you can probably scheme wise, and I'm not a football expert, but you might be able to do a bit more. And I trust Wade Phillips. I don't trust him as a head coach, but as a
coordinator.
Right. And this is a Super Bowl winning defensive coordinator, and Aaron Donald, I mean, this guy's...
Seven sacks last week against Seattle.
Yeah, seven sacks.
He had three.
Right. And and granted, that was probably against one of the worst offensive lines in the league. But still, seven sacks is impressive. And Robert Quinn, everything that the Rams are doing, I just think they're peaking at the right time. And I don't know if it's their year, but if they do go far, I wouldn't be surprised.
What defense you taking, G?
It's a lot more difficult a question than it sounds, because if you look at the team with the best defensive player, it's the Rams with Aaron Donald. I think he's the best defensive player if you look at both units. But overall, it's the Jaguars because they talk trash, they have an attitude, and they'll beat you up day. And they've had two games themselves where they had 10-plus sacks. I don't think that's ever happened. Well, it's been years since a team had two games in which they sacked the quarterback 10-plus times.
Yeah. Getting Calais Campbell to go along with all those first-round draft picks they got, man.
Because they had got Fowler back, too, right?
Yeah, they got Fowler back. See, so I'm man, and they're young.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're very young. They're kind of like how Seattle was built a few years ago. Yeah.
Right. And they get to the quarterback.
So we're looking at a defense, you know, barring injury or whatever, for years to come in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And I think it all starts to me from Tom Coughlin, to be honest with you. He's building that organization in his image to where they're hard-nosed, they go to play football, they're going to be disciplined on defense, they don't get a lot of penalties and all that kind of stuff, and they play hard.
Well, since that's the case, I guess if you're listening in Florida, we pub in Jacksonville at this point. But let's say Blake Bortles in the playoffs.
Yeah.
This hypothetical, right? With the defense that they have, do you go out and get an Eli Manning in the offseason? If Blake Bortles doesn't live up to what you would love for him to live up to in the playoffs?
I think you're answering your own question. If he goes and he wets the bed and costs them, I think you have to move away from him because you cannot waste that defense and the team that you got around.
You can't John Elway.
You cannot do it. And, I mean, we've seen people flip. I mean, like I said, the quarterback in L.A., we didn't think that Goff could play.
Right.
And I know it's a bigger sample size to look at Bortles and say he just doesn't have it. But these last 2 weeks, he's made throws. It's not like he's handed the ball off and they've just run the ball down. I've seen him make throws that I didn't think he could make. And I know you keep saying, but what he's done in the past. But if he goes on a run like Flacco did to get, you know, the year that they wanted, I mean, that's all you need. I mean, he has to do things. He has to hit open receivers and hand the ball off, not make stupid plays. The defense is going to take care of itself.
But you got to look at, like, with Flacco, when the Ravens won that Super Bowl, he had won a couple of playoff games before then.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He has to go on that run. Well, he may have won some before, but he didn't look good. He looked good the year they won it. Last year.
Yeah, when they won the Super Bowl, yeah, he was good that year.
Yeah.
But he had played well enough.
No,
to win a couple of playoff games.
They hit him that year. Look at those scores. Let's go back and look at those stats and scores the year that he was there when they won some of those games. They won in spite of him.
I'll take your word for it. I'm saying he did well enough. I don't know if I could say if Bortles will play well enough. I do think that they'll go after Eli. I mean, Coughlin is familiar with him.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any bad blood between them. So he'll at least try to get Eli. But we don't know if Eli's going to keep playing.
And that's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that New York wants to keep him. That's coming from the top, from the owners. And if you look at it, you still got, you know, Odell coming back.
Yeah.
And, you know, Shepard is stepping up. So they're going to have a complimentary receiver there. They can go out and get a running back. And New York is going to – they got money to sign some free agents. The defense
– they need to work on the offensive line.
The offensive line has to be addressed.
And I agree with you. I could see a 10-win swing for – well, maybe not 10, but a 7 or 8-win swing for the New York Giants next year. Because, I mean, you're the guys that you all just mentioned that they're getting back, they could very well be back in the playoff hunt next year.
Offensive line running back.
And hoping Odell comes back to, you know, some form of what he is.
What if they get Barkley?
Woo!
They'll have a top five pick.
Yeah.
I would consider it.
I mean, you do want to groom somebody, but I wouldn't want to throw him right in if I got Eli in the contract and I can groom him to succeed, you know, Eli. So I wouldn't mind getting a
I'm talking about Saquon Barkley.
Oh, you talking about running
back. Yeah, that's what. That'd be nice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a beast.
You taking that high?
Somebody got to do like what Zeke. I mean, that's what the Cowboys did. They took a chance, and
the Jags did it with taking Fournette.
Yeah,
and McCaffrey went high.
Are we playing GM right now for the time?
Man, you got to build that thing.
Hey, they don't have one. Why the hell?
Look, OBJ, Saquon Barkley, and a legit quarterback.
Shepard.
And we haven't even talked about the tight end situation.
Ingram
is nice.
Yeah. And the secondary has been, last year they was very, very good.
Yeah. They signed some free agents last year that really panned out last year. This year they hadn't looked as good. But, you know.
They kept getting suspended.
Yeah.
By their former head coach.
Right. And they had I think a couple of them had some off-the-field issues.
And the kid with the club on his hand, Jason Pierre-Paul.
Pierre-Paul. Yeah.
whatever it is. I think he still has something left in the tank.
Gas, yeah.
Yeah.
So y'all bumping New York.
I wouldn't. And then the thing about it, like I said, Seattle's gonna have a couple of cast off players.
Yeah.
Right. And we don't know what's gonna happen with Philly next. Well, Nick Foles is still there, but to me, he's the lesser quarterback compared to Carson Wentz. So I don't know. Giants could very well be in it next year.
Yeah, I don't think they're as far off. I think this has been one of those perfect storms for them with injuries and everything that happened that really made their season go down. You know, just go down the drain. So. They could very well, like you said, come back and be a quality football team next year.
And I'm going to call it. I think Blake Bortles is going to get $100 million.
Wow. If he makes a run in this playoff, you're right.
Yeah.
Dad said on Facebook Live that don't forget the Giants will have an easier schedule as well.
Yeah. Don't count them out.
Oh, they get Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, they get a Barkley, somebody like that. It's going to be nice.
Wow. That'll be – oof. All right, man, we're going to take a quick one-minute break. When we get back, we're going to talk about which team you don't want to see in the NFL playoffs this year. You listen to Sports Roundtable with the SRT Crew, 1100 AM, srtradio.com.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network.
Your radio.
Tune in.
Now.
You can tune in to this radio station on any smartphone or tablet.
iPhone.
Android.
BlackBerry.
Nokia.
Samsung.
Windows phones.
Or whatever you have. Download the free TuneIn app from your phone or tablet's app store.
Tune in with music, sports, news, and comedy.
From over 70,000 radio stations around the world, including this Beasley Broadcast Group station. Check it out at TuneIn.com.
Or your app store.
Stuck in a high dollar, low gig family plan? Right now, switch to Boost Mobile's best family plan and get four lines for just $25 per line, each with unlimited gigs. Plus, get up to four free phones. Boost makes it easy to switch. Switching makes it easy to save.
Sports Roundtable.
Tiger Woods. It's been reported they have found 5 different drugs in his system when he got arrested in May.
Well, you know, it's already been shown Tiger likes quantity. It is what it is.
Give me that name.
I don't know.
Vicodin, Dilaudid, Xanax, Ambien, and THC.
Let's get it.
Then the THC, how did he ingest it? I don't know, but it was in his system.
Yep. On the Worldwide Radio Network 1100 AM.
Merry Christmas to you coming up Monday, so we wish you have a Merry Christmas. Be safe on this weekend and the holidays. Be careful of the traffic. Keep your hands to yourself in the workplace. As we stated last week, if you check that out, picture a couple of weeks ago, keep your hands to yourself. We're wrapping this thing up. I want to appreciate Jay Smooth for stepping in. Want to give a special shout out to my cousin David Davenport. Birthday is tomorrow. He will turn a year younger, so we want to shout him out. I meant to tell him earlier. He was watching earlier, but what is this? 8:43. So I'll let him know. Check out the podcast. You can check the podcast out, srtradio.com. As we wrap things up, want to thank Slick Money for coming through, or at least calling to give them picks. Hope you win some fruit cups. I want to thank DW for calling in, give us some very honest opinions about the Falcons. That running back situation is real serious. You know, if they can't keep Coleman, how do you keep continuing to feed Freeman without a legitimate out of the backfield type running back like a Kamara, like a McCaffrey? Tauron Ward is not that. So be kind of interesting going into the draft.
But he's not, I mean, when he has to come in and step, he doesn't drop off to where it's so noticeable. He holds his own.
Oh,
but I know what you're saying, that pass catching back out of the back.
The linebackers, they can stay inside because he's running. We ain't got to worry about him in the backfield. I can pull up now. I can tell you how many receptions he has out of the backfield.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are the type things, you know, when you facing New Orleans, they spread. You don't know where Kamara is going to be. You don't know where McCaffrey is going to be. And with what Coleman does, hadn't utilized it a lot, but if you have them two in the game at the same time, it's, you know, you're spreading it out a little bit.
I don't think they use Gabriel enough to get in those
situations. Yeah, they definitely don't. Yeah,
I would try to get him in space a little more.
I agree. Definitely. Facebook Live say Merry Christmas to the crew. Denacia is hollering Merry Christmas to the crew.
Merry Christmas.
All right, so which team no one wants to see in the playoffs? NFL. Whether they're in the playoff picture or not at this point, which team don't no other team want to see?
That's what we looking outside on fringe people, stuff like that.
The
teams that's currently in the
anybody
picture.
who can still make the playoffs.
Anybody who can still or make the playoffs or who could be peaking at the right time, you don't want to see them.
No, I know I've been talking about them a lot, but nobody wants to see Jags, man.
Jags, okay.
Especially if they can put up points the way they're putting them up the last couple of weeks. Now, we have to take into account who they played, but they've done to those teams what you didn't think they could do.
Right.
So they're one team you look at. Even, I'm going to be honest, the Cowboys, because that run game they have, they can shorten the game and keep the other offenses off the field. If Zeke comes back and plays well, Cowboys could be dangerous.
Okay. Smooth?
Yeah. Hand took it right out of my mouth.
Cowboys?
Yeah, the Cowboys.
But they got to win out.
They do.
They got to win out.
They got to win out. And that's what we were talking about, teams, that if they get in.
If they get in. Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because the offensive line, they're starting to gel. They're starting to play well. And, you know, Zeke is back. Where it was, he was in Mexico, wherever he was.
Yeah.
You know, he's running around. He's supposedly in great shape. So, we'll see. I'm still concerned about Dez. He's been very inconsistent. And that entire receiving corps and Jason Witten, we don't know what's going to happen with him from day to day.
He's going to the front office after this year.
Yeah, might as well, because it's about over.
How about New Orleans, though?
They can run the ball also.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people want to see them.
They don't. And the kid on the outside, Marcus Lattimore, cornerback, Ohio State, right?
Ohio State, yeah.
I think he should be considered
Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah. Sorry. I think he definitely should be considered in the running for defensive rookie of the year.
Yeah. They're playing pretty good.
Yeah. Marty says Jags, Rams, and Steelers. If AB comes back healthy, you don't want to see the Steelers.
Yeah, you don't want to see the Steelers.
Ryan Shazier thing scares me.
It hurt him. It did hurt him.
Because they don't have that sideline-to-sideline speed that they once had when he was on the field.
Or covers in the middle of the field. We saw what happened with Gronk in a crucial situation. He caught big passes and ended up being the winning score. So I do agree with you. That hurts. But then if you get the cornerback, Joe Hayden back.
That
helps. So a safety will be able to come down. I think that's one of the big things. But we did see that first night that Shazier went out, backs were able to get to the edge. And that's what I thought New England was going to do more of, be able to get more, you know, wider plays and get to the edge more. But really, Pittsburgh dominated the game.
Yeah, they did.
Up until really let Gronk get open. So
what team will be fake news in going into the playoff?
Mm.
Could Philly hold up, like Jay Smooth said?
I think Philly's legit, man.
Okay.
I honestly think Foles is serviceable enough. He's accurate. And I think he having an offensive coordinator that can put him in the right situation. And that's what it's about. Not wanting him to do things that he's not able to do. And he's already won at this, you know, playing football. It's not like we're taking a guy that hadn't played football, hadn't played a lot of NFL football. Foles has been a quarterback in NFL.
Right.
So I don't think they're fugazi.
I'm gonna go ahead and say,
I don't know, man. Who?
I'm gonna say the Falcons and Carolina. Yeah. Falcons and Carolina.
Yeah,
I just Falcons feel like, sure. Yeah, Falcons and Carolina. Cam is too emotional, as far as I'm concerned. He just too emotional. Things don't go his way. He gets out of sync. They really don't have – the steward hasn't been the steward that we knew.
Up until the last 2 weeks, no. Last 2 weeks, I don't know what got into him.
Exactly.
Right. He's running the football crazy right now.
But now, it's a different story in the playoffs and things of that nature.
And so, they got the Caucasian, what they call the Caucasian invasion going with the running back and the tight end.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. They started to incorporate him a little bit more, and I think that's what's freeing up Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
Is that
no
people
doubt.
Are paying attention to.
Because, again, he's spreading the linebackers out. Right. That's what I'm saying. So you already know or don't know.
But also with Olsen coming back.
Exactly. That occupies the safety and linebackers. Yeah. So I don't know, man. I'm a little more scared than you are.
I'm with the Falcons, but you know Cam doesn't have the best technique.
No,
you know as far as throwing, if you can force him to throw you, now this ain't
he'll throw you one or two.
Yeah, yeah. So this you know we talking about you know the Rams. We talking about New Orleans. We talking about some teams that can actually play.
But what did y'all tell me about before when you talked about experience? Carolina's been there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis will be back. So defensively, they'll be all right, you know. So, but I definitely don't trust with the Falcons, even if they making the playoffs. You know, you hear people on Twitter talking about, well, a win is a win. Well,
yeah.
Until you run into the monster, because you're building up an expectation that's not going to happen.
Right.
Because me personally, and maybe this comes from the Coach K deal, is I want to play good. I can care less about what win another lot. I just want to play good, because the win doesn't necessarily mean that you are actually, because in just like in pool, I didn't win. I just lost. I hit the eight ball in. Or I scratched. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
I
did you really win?
I feel
or did you just lose?
I feel what you're saying.
You see what
and
I'm
that's
saying?
When we talk about teams peaking too early. And I think
they ain't even started.
I think like we talked about Philly. Philly peaked early, and I don't know if they're gonna get back to that level.
Right.
The Rams look like they're peaking at the right time
like Jay Smooth said.
Just like in the Saints kind of peaked early, so we don't know about them either.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen teams catch fire. What if Atlanta flips a switch and they start scoring 30 points?
Well, they gonna have to show me
because they have the firepower.
Yeah, they gonna have to show me. Then.
But I agree with you. If anybody is suspect,
14 weeks in and you still you know with all them close games. I mean, you are what you are at this particular point. So that's crazy. All right, man, we got to get up out of here. Want to give a special shout out to my main man D. Will doing this T-shirt thing, riding down to the Gump. Shout out to Jay Smooth coming in and doing this thing. Shout out to everybody who joined us Saturday, SRT Saturday, man. Shout out to the crew, man. Did a great job tonight. We talked some NFL. We talked LeVar. We had some hot news. We talked about how silly Diddy. Yeah, I don't know if you go get it. You ain't got enough money. Hard to say when you're rich to say you ain't got enough money.
Yeah, it's hard.
You know, so so we'll see. Don't know where Steph Curry sits in this trying to buy the Panthers kind of deal. I'm pretty sure he knows some folks. Him and Tebow pretty close, so they
out there in Silicon Valley, don't see.
Yeah, so
some
that's
money out there.
Well, Amazon out there somewhere?
Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah, so there it is.
And also
so,
that Under Armour money, too.
Absolutely. All right, man. So those are my shout-outs. You got any real quick, Han?
Shout-out to Facebook, man. Shout-out to the Georgia Thunder, baby. My six-year-old team won again. Boogie got five points this week, so do your thing.
Shout-out to my mom and dad, and follow me on my website, bythetimeyouhearthis.com.
Yeah, shout-out to everybody that's listening. We appreciate it, and hope you guys keep coming back each and every week. And thanks to the entire crew.
There it is, man. You already know. Hey, man, if you don't like it, learn to love it because it's the best thing going to know it. Today, SRT, baby, Han, let's roll.
Boogie, I'm headed home, baby.
Smooth.
And this your main man, H.O. from Bankhead, RIP Moms, RIP BC. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
And if you do,
y'all better watch out, man. These taxes ain't going to be for real.
And we out. Peace.